Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's June 4th as we get close to the opening, the first day, the real first day of summer. Of course, NASCAR was in action this weekend. The Nationwide Series had off, but the Cup Series was up at Pocono Raceway. And the Truck Series were down at the Texas Motor Speedway as the warm-up for the IZOD IndyCar race, of course. Okay, tonight's guests will be Courtney Force, driver of the Traxxas Mustang, and we'll be taking your calls and have some wrap-up from Pocono. But first, let me get to my very special guest, driver of the Traxxas Mustang, fuel funny car for John Force Racing, the big guy's daughter, Courtney Force. Courtney, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, last time you were on, you were in your testing mode. I think it was out in Las Vegas last season. Now you're a full-time rookie running in the 8,000 horsepower funny car for your dad, and you've had a bit of success this year. Of course, you haven't gotten the Wally yet, but the learning curve, I guess, racing against all those top-notch guys, including your dad and Rob and Mike, and looks like half the field's on your team anyway, but hopefully one of these days you'll be taking home that big trophy, and it's good to see your progression in the sport. How do you feel all that work has come into play this year?
I mean, I think everything's been going very well. Obviously, it's still very surreal to me. You know, I was testing in the funny car all last season, and, you know, getting the opportunity with Traxxas and all my sponsors to jump in the funny car this year, it's been going better than I had expected. I mean, I have a great team and great crew chief with Ron Douglas and Dan Hood, and you know, I think we're ninth in the points right now, so I'm definitely excited. We've been to two semis, and I just hope that we can, you know, continue it. And, you know, obviously I am a rookie driver, so I'm learning every time I'm in the seat of that funny car, but I'm definitely having fun with it.
Well, it seems to be, you know, you're now racing on tracks that you probably haven't tested on. Englishtown a couple of weeks ago. This coming weekend, you'll be coming to my neck of the woods. Then I moved from New Jersey down to southwestern Virginia. You'll be going to Thunder Valley for the Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol, Tennessee there. And what have you taken from every track, or is this one going to be a new learning experience for you?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a learning experience for me. I tested at, you know, some of the racetracks last year, but obviously didn't make it out to every single one of them. I think I was, you know, so busy with trying to travel on the road and you know, figure out the funny car. But this season, you know, going into these racetracks that I'm, you know, completely unfamiliar with, it's definitely exciting. It's definitely a challenge for me. And I love, you know, getting out there and, you know, studying the track. And I'm taking home notes after every race and trying to, you know, have it all grouped up for next year, so it'll kind of help me, you know, remember the racetrack and remember how it felt and, you know, different ways I can kind of, you know, make it better. So, I mean, I'm nervous a little bit, but I'm definitely excited to get out to Bristol and see what we can do.
Now, do they set up the car to your needs, or using your other three teammates' information to get you going for the first round of qualifying?
I mean, honestly, when we go out there, we just do the best we can, and we try to just, you know, stick together as a team and just try to get our car out there, get it qualified, and do the best we can. Obviously, none of our cars are exactly the same, but, you know, we do the best we can to just, you know, get it as close into the field as we can, you know, against all the other competitors. So, you know, it's been running pretty consistent so far this season, and I think, you know, that's what we need to get it going rounds and to get it qualified for the race.
This year, the team itself has been doing pretty good, winning the first five events. Of course, that catapulted Rob Height into the points lead. You as a young driver in a 8,000 horsepower machine coming from the top alcohol dragsters, that had to be a hellacious jump for you going from those things into the fuel funny cars.
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge going from, you know, something that you're so used to driving, a, you know, long rail dragster, I drove a super comp dragster for 3 years and then top alcohol dragster for another 3 years after that. So it was a big transition. My dad actually had me start out towing around in just the chassis of a funny car around our shop in Yorba Linda, California, for a couple months before he actually let me get in and start the car up and let me warm it up before even taking it down the racetrack. So it was definitely a long process that he wanted me to go through, but I think it was a good thing. You know, I got a lot of seat time and, I had to kind of figure out the little things that were, obviously different from a dragster going into a funny car. And Ashley, my sister, she went through that same transition. So it was really great to kind of have her there to, get some advice and get some tips from her and help me with that transition. But so far it's been going good.
It seems like you're trying to emulate more of your sister Ashley's career than the way it's progressed, I suppose, as opposed to your dad's. I guess being he's won 15 championships, that's kind of like big shoes to aspire to. I guess Ashley's a little closer to relate to when it comes to driving.
Yeah, I agree. Dad, I mean, he's been in this for such a long time. He doesn't even realize everything that he's doing in the car. It's just second nature to him, which is awesome. But, I mean, when you're going into this category, my dad has all the great, driving advice. But when I was trying to transition from a dragster to a funny car, it was really great to have Ashley there because it was fresh in her head. You know, she remembered what it was like and how it felt different and different ways you had to adjust to it. And I mean, it's been great having her there. But, I mean, it's definitely big shoes to fill with either one of them. My dad going 15 championships, I don't even know if, anyone can pass that. It's definitely, it's a huge accomplishment for him, and I'm very proud of him. But Ashley did well in funny car as well, and I just hope to kind of follow in her footsteps and learn the ropes like she did and hopefully win some races like she did. But we'll see what happens.
Well, you have a long career ahead of you, and, of course, this being your rookie season, you have a good way to go. The first year you're matched some of her records, and if you have a few of your own, which is a good thing to have under your belt. Growing up around the track, I can see where you've gone following your dad around and learning all your sponsors. I guess that's one of the things you practice as a kid going to the track, and now you have to do it in real life in front of the media.
Yeah, that's actually exactly how it happened. I just watched so many of my dad's interviews as a kid growing up. I don't even know how I just started reading them out like him. I mean, obviously no one can do an interview like he does, but I do the best I can. I try to, get all my sponsors in there because obviously they're huge for, making all of this possible and getting this huge opportunity. So I want them to know how thankful I am, but it's definitely something growing up watching Dad and just trying to take some tips from all of his interviews.
Well, from what I've seen of your interviews on TV, the one thing you seem to have inherited is that gift of gab. So that's a plus on your side. So I wouldn't worry about the interview too much because you seem to handle those pretty good.
Thanks. I'm trying.
But, it's always different. You're coming up through every track is different. You'll have your own experience to tell everybody and the fans that you're probably acquiring is a pretty good sized fan base. And you're one of the ladies of the sport. And I know there's a couple others in there and of all the women in motorsports, your accessibility through, with the fans at the track. And that's one thing that NHRA has as far as you get a ticket to the race, you go through the pits and you pretty much you have crowds of fans lined up around your car wait for you to come out, I guess, and sign autographs.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a big plus, having, a sport like NHRA drag racing where there's such amazing fan-to-driver contact. The fans can come right into the pits. Stand right outside the pits and look in and watch these crew guys work on the car, tear the motor apart, put it back together. And I think it's exciting for them. There's so much to do, when there's a little bit of downtime between rounds. And I think it makes it exciting for the fans. And as for my fan base, I think I'm very fortunate that, a lot of the fans have always been John Ford fans and Ashley Ford fans. So I think they kind of lingered over and kind of wondered, oh, who's this other daughter that's coming up? So it's definitely pretty cool, but I'm hoping, you know, I can prove myself as a driver on my own and, you know, gain some fan base that way. So I'm doing the best I can out there, but it's definitely cool to see that, you know, people stay true to, you know, being a Force fan, and it's pretty cool that everyone kind of stays together.
Well, watching racing and drag racing in general, when I was young and coming up, it always seemed like your dad was the key figure that made an impression with his interviews, his sense of humor, and his personability. And that's one thing about everybody on your team. They all seem to have that, and you seem to be the latest one being the you're the youngest one, but you've made the jump sooner than your older sister Brittany, who I think is she's testing in the top fuel rank, so she's going to break with family tradition too. So you all kind of give her a hard time about going into the top fuel ranks as opposed to sticking with the family business?
No, I mean, I think it's, I mean, I grew up, I always wanted to race in a funny car, but, you know, when we were talking about it, going into a pro field, it was kind of like my dad asked me, you know, what do you think? Do you want to do, you know, is it a funny car that you really want to do, or is it a top fuel dragster? And I said, you know, whichever one is, you know, the most accessible that we can, you know, put together and do this program, I'm, you know, I'll take any seat I can get. So I was very lucky that, you know, we had funny cars at our shop, so I was able to test in one, and, you know, they built one, and it was, I'm very lucky that I had that opportunity. But, you know, Brittany came along, and she went and got her teaching credentials, so I think she just kind of was a year behind me, but you know, she got that done and said, you know, she wanted to go racing. She loved racing the top alcohol dragster, and now she's testing in the top fuel dragster. So she's officially the quickest one in the family, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's something to being able to hop in a car, scream down 1,000 feet of racetrack at over 300 miles an hour in just a little over 4 seconds. And then sometimes on a good day, you hit it under four. So, I guess it all depends on the weather and the humidity conditions, how they tune those monsters up so you can get down quick off the tree.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, track conditions, you know, the weather, everything really plays into how these cars run. And, you know, if you got a cool racetrack, you're at a, you know, at a good place, then these cars will run in the threes, and it's pretty amazing to watch. And someone just ran, I think it was a 396, so I'm hoping to get to the threes one day. I think that would be pretty awesome. I mean, running 300 miles an hour alone is definitely exciting, but Brittany's running the threes and the dragster, so maybe we can start running it in the funny cars.
Why not? I mean, the thing about the funny cars is it's more visible than the top fuel dragsters, because they're all skinny and you get them little front bicycle-looking tires in the front, and at least with a funny car, you got the full body, and it kind of looks cooler, I think, especially at night when you have the flame shooting out the exhaust.
Yeah, that was the biggest surprise to me when Dad, he goes, you know, I think he was almost afraid to tell me. Like, I didn't realize the sun was going down, but he's like, this is your first night run, you know, you're going to be in the funny car, there's going to be header flames, and don't let it scare you, your car's not blowing up. So I was like, okay, I got all this in the back of my head, and I'm thinking, I got to stay focused, and he's like, just keep the car in between the header flames. And I was looking at him like, how, that makes absolutely no sense, but I think he was just trying to calm my nerves. But, I mean, obviously, as a kid, that was probably my favorite thing, was watching these funny cars light up in the night, you know, going down the racetrack during qualifying, Friday night qualifying with header flames coming out the side. So it was definitely a cool experience for me. I thought it was, you know, pretty awesome to get inside one of those cars. It's so dark, you can barely see that steering wheel, but, I mean, everything lights up when you hit the throttle and those header flames come out.
What's it like going in the difference between doing the burnout and then going to full song when the tree drops? Because last year I went to Englishtown and watched your dad and Mike Neff happen to win the event, but there was things I didn't know about the car, like when you do the burnout, you're not running on either full fuel or all cylinders, and then
right.
they flip that switch, when you get ready to make your run, and then next thing you know, it's probably one of the most unusual experiences I've ever had as a spectator. I know the advertising is, making your bones rattle. I think every part of my body rattled when you guys took off standing down there by the tree. So,
yeah.
How's it feel going from the burnout to the full power when you have to make the run?
When I do the burnout, it's actually a lot smoother than you think it would be. And keeping that car straight, it just kind of pretty much is revving that motor up, and then you let off back up. And when that tree comes down, it just throws you back in your seat. Your heart is pounding. You can hear it, it's like in your throat. But it's definitely a cool experience, hitting that throttle. And we have a chin strap to keep our head down, so, we don't go flying back with it. But it's so much pressure on your chest just when you're heading down that racetrack going 300. It's a pretty cool feeling. I mean, I'm not very good at explaining it, but, it's 3 or 4 G's when you're leaving the starting line. And I think you're going over 100 miles an hour in just that first second.
That's pretty awesome. My little old Mustang might hit low 13s in a quarter mile as a street car. Yours kind of cuts that down to a third.
It's a little different.
Yeah, a little different, and I got to watch out for cops where you don't. But the thing about that is sitting in the seat and standing on the sidelines, is it a different feel, or you kind of get rattled to hell like the people standing around the car do when you make the run?
Yeah, it's a little different. I think when you're strapped in, I think you're ready for it. I think when you're standing next to the car, it almost knocks you off your feet because, it kind of throws you back a little bit when these cars, when they step on that throttle and they leave, the launch is so hard when you're standing right up on the starting line. It literally shakes every bone in your body. It's a pretty amazing feeling. But when you hit the throttle, you're thinking about so many other things. You're not thinking about really all the different feelings it is when you leave the starting line. It's more of, you got to keep the car straight. You got to focus on getting a quick reaction time, hitting the throttle, and just keeping that car straight and, being ready for anything that the car is going to throw at you, whether it's going to start to spin the tires or it's going to start shaking. You got to be ready for it. So it's a little bit different, when you're in the seat of the race car compared to when you're standing on the line, but it's definitely it definitely gives you that same effect of, that your bones shaking in your body.
That's another thing that gets me is you do the burnout to get the tires all nice and hot and sticky to get the grip off the line. How does it wind up to where you wind up spinning tires maybe 200-300 foot down the track, and then the fact that you have to gather it back in, because that's a lot of horsepower to sit there and break them loose. Is there something you can't avoid, or is that just something you have to deal with?
As far as the burnout goes, they have, they have it so where it doesn't rev up like when you leave the starting line. They flip that switch; it doesn't make it go as hard as when it leaves the starting line on a launch when the tree comes down. So when you're doing that burnout, it's not as much horsepower as when it leaves the starting line. But it's definitely. You got to get those tires warmed up and get the car ready to run for the race.
That's what I got that. But when the tree goes off, you seem to be taking off pretty good. But some cars seem to want to break them loose again 300 feet down the track. Is that due to track conditions, or is that just the horsepower of the car?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question. It's a combination of things. I think wheel speed and the conditions of the racetrack, maybe you have your car set up to run quicker than the track's really capable of holding. So, when your car is ready to go, sometimes it just doesn't really grip and it just strikes the tires. And that's something that you kind of have to, that's why the crew chiefs get paid the big bucks. They figure these cars out right to that very second, right when it leaves the starting line. And they got to get it really compatible with the track conditions and the weather and everything. There's so many details that go into it, but, that's the big thing. You got to get it to where it gets past that first mark, and it doesn't strike the tire, so you can, you know, go down, going down for the win.
That's a good thing. I guess the, one of the freakiest feelings is, no, you take off fine, and then the tires spin later on down the track. Does that mean the crew chief has to back off on something? But, I mean, the fact that you're in control of the car, how do you maintain control of the car when that happens? I know pedaling it seems to help, but some people have a tough time gathering it back in and doing that to get down the, and they lose pretty much a couple of seconds off their ET.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, maybe the car's set up and it's trying to run quicker than the track can take, and it'll start spinning the tires, or maybe it drops the cylinder, but sometimes it spins the tires because maybe there's a tire that's a little bit out of the groove, and it, you know, it kind of pulls you over to the side. So there's a lot of different things that could be happening if it's not just the setup of the car. There's so many factors that go into it with, you know, just dropping a cylinder. It can pull you hard over to the wall, and you just got to, as a driver, you just got to pull it back the opposite way, keep it in the center of the groove. Because if you're not in the center of the groove and you have a tire out of that, I mean, it'll spin it. It'll strike it quick, and it'll turn that car sideways. Or, I mean, it'll try to. So you really got to be on your toes, and you got to be able to react quick and know what that feeling is when it's either, you know, just having tires shake. And you got to do what you can to try to either pedal it quick, and hopefully the tires will catch and grip back with the track and take off. Or you know, I'm still learning about how to pedal this car. My dad's been teaching me this season, but I mean, I've also done it where I do like a slow pedal where I try to regroup and get everything back and make sure the car's straight before I get back on that throttle. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I mean, you try to do everything you can as a driver to save the run, and sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't.
Now, what are some of the accomplishments? I guess your initial victory over your dad. What's it like racing your dad, and then, you know, knowing who you're up against, and when you wind up finally beating him? Is that an ambition to race him and beat him, or is it just feel that good of a feeling just to run against him?
It's definitely been something I've wanted to do. I've always wanted to race him, but I've definitely always wanted to beat him. I mean, I grew up watching him race when I was a kid. I drew pictures of us racing each other with just horrible crayon outline. But, I mean, I've always wanted that. And, you know, when I got matched up against him in Phoenix, we had actually matched up against each other in qualifying the day before. And he was trying to mess with me, and he was trying to just kind of throw me off my game to see if I could handle the pressure is what he said. But so I was just like, I was really bummed out because he kept, you know, outrunning me at qualifying. So we found out we were matched up against each other. I was like, I'm going to use this against him. You know, I've grown up, I've watched his routine. I know exactly how he likes to stage and how he likes to run the car. So I try to flip it on him and, you know, change up his routine. And it actually ended up benefiting me. I ended up taking home the win for that round. And again, the second round, I actually had my career best DT in the second round. So it was a good weekend. It was a huge feeling for me, you know, getting that win over him and seeing that win light. But, I mean, you always get a little bummed out knowing that, you know, your dad didn't get the win. I knocked him out of the points lead just by beating him that round. So there's a lot of mixed feelings, but overall, I was definitely excited to get that win over someone that's, you know, won that many championships, and the fact that he was my dad.
Well, that's a pretty good measuring stick, too. I mean, you know, here's if he was the points leader coming in, won the first event of the season, and to show that you've learned well, why not go up against the best? And if you can bump him down, I'm sure it made him proud that you beat him. The fact that, you know, that's my little girl type of thing. And, of course, he probably wasn't too happy that he lost, but what race car driver really ever is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I definitely think he was proud of me, but I could tell it was a little awkward at the other end of the racetrack when I went to do my interview, and I couldn't really find him anywhere down there. I was going to, you know, give him the, you know, good job handshake, but I didn't really see him down there, so I know that he was bummed out. He wasn't the points lead, and it kind of slipped away from him on that run. But, I mean, I was excited. I wanted to do everything I can to get, you know, my Traxxas Ford Mustang down to the other end and get that wind light. And it was a pretty cool feeling. I mean, it was huge.
Especially in the second event of the season to do that, you know, makes you feel good, gives you the confidence to say, yeah, this is something that I know I could do now that, and I know after wanting to do it for so long. And let's just fill the listeners in on your sponsor, Traxxas. Everybody knows who Cash Crawl is in Auto Club. Traxxas is maybe something somebody out there doesn't recognize, so when you plug them a little bit, I'm sure they'd love it.
Traxxas is the fastest name in radio control. So if you've seen, growing up as a kid, I always had radio control cars that I was playing with, and it's pretty cool that, you know, they have this company that fits so well with NHRA drag racing. I think it pretty much went hand in hand when we talked about, you know, getting the sponsorship deal with them, and it's pretty cool. I mean, they sell these so many different kinds of cars. They have boats. I mean, they have trucks, cars. I have a Ford F-150, a Raptor that I have, and they now make Ford Mustang funny cars. And, I mean, you can race, these cars go up to 70 miles an hour. So, I mean, it's definitely a cool sponsorship to have, and it's definitely a lot of fun. They have a huge display out at every racetrack, and all their fans can come out and check out the cars that they sell and even test drive them.
Now, they have little tracks set up to where, like, if somebody wanted to put their cars up against, maybe have race you in a Traxxas mobile in between rounds, because they usually run off to either the souvenir trucks or something like that to sign autographs. I think I missed you last year at Englishtown. You and Rob Height went off somewhere to the souvenir stands while I was interviewing your dad back at the pit. So, I mean, with all the events that go on that you have to be a part of, is that something that, you know, that fans can enter to try to win something? And I'm sure a lot of giveaways. It's just amazing what goes on at an NHRA full throttle event at a venue, and all the stuff to keep busy between rounds. At least you hopefully get some downtime.
Yeah, I mean, in between rounds, they definitely have a bunch of giveaways. We have our Castrol display, the John Force Racing display. It's our midway, so it's pretty cool. I mean, if we win the race or we qualify, you know, in the top of the field, I mean, we give away washers and dryers. There's so many different things. People can sign up to win trips with Auto Club, and actually between rounds as well, we also go and sign over at the Traxxas display and talk to the fans a little bit over there and just have fun with it.
I'm sure there's always a big crowd that comes around when you're out and about, as it seems that you're getting a fan following so early in your career, and being a young woman in the world of motorsports who can compete and, you know, get some wins under your belt in the rounds, and, you know, that Wally might be coming to you by the end of the season.
I hope so. I think that would be a huge accomplishment. But, I mean, this far in the season, I'm very proud of my team and everyone, just with how it's at. I mean, where we're at. I mean, I've gone some rounds and you know, getting to the semis twice, I mean, it's such a huge accomplishment for all of us. So hopefully we can continue it. Hopefully we can stay consistent. And maybe we will get a trophy at the end of the season, but maybe we won't. But hopefully, you know, if we keep it up, hopefully we can get it.
Well, I know this weekend you're going to be down in Bristol, a new track for you as far as experience. So we want to wish you luck this weekend at the Thunder Valley Nationals. And if you win, you'll have to come back on and talk about it.
Yes, I definitely will. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun race at Thunder Valley Nationals. And I think, you know, it's going to be a new track to me, but being out there with my dad, especially for Father's Day weekend, it's going to be a lot of fun. They even got some good ticket deals going on out there. So, should be a good race.
Well, if it's any indication, when Rob came on with me a few years ago, a lot of times, and he won a championship, and your dad was on, and then the new year after that, he was on a lot of times, and he won the championship. So, who knows? Maybe you might have to call in a few more times. Maybe it'll help your luck out and match with your skills. Well, who knows what will happen at the end of the year. But anyway, Courtney, I'd like to thank you for coming on the air with me again. And your first full rookie season as a funny car driver. And like I said, wish you a lot of luck this weekend down at Bristol, and hope to be talking to you again.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hopefully calling in will bring me some luck this weekend in Bristol, and I'll have to be calling back again soon.
All right. Well, I want to watch this weekend, and I like to pull for everybody that comes on the show. So, and the fact that you're with one of my favorite drag racing teams, like I said, growing up in the sport, watching your dad and all his accomplishments, it's just kind of good to see you carry over to the family members, and wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Courtney, thanks again for joining us. You have a great evening and a great weekend, and we'll definitely be talking again. And tell everybody Garage Talk Live says hi.
I will. Thank you for having me on.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have it, folks. Courtney Force, driver of the Traxxas Fuel Funny Car for the NHRA Full Throttle Series. Lot of talent, long way to go, and she's learning quick. Get some rounds under her belt. And Tammy, you there?
I'm here. I'm enjoying every minute of that, but that's because I'm a Traxxas racer. So.
Well, I know. That's right. I give a little plug to the sponsor because I knew you out there run Traxxas. Of course, what do you run? You run the little F-150 Raptor 2 or like Courtney does? Or
I have the Traxxas / 4x4. It's the special edition Snap-on one that they had for last year, so there wasn't many of them made. And I'm really happy with it. I won, 2 weeks ago? I had my first win with it, and it's in first place in the points.
Another points lead for you, man.
Another points lead. I'm just racking up championships. That's all I look at anymore, you know.
Hey.
Championships are championships.
Trophy is a trophy. Anybody, let's give us a call. Number 646-649-1899. Talk about the interview with Courtney, the action in Pocono, the lack thereof of action in Texas with the I-God IndyCar Series. That was a dull race. There's nothing to watch on Saturday. To put I have a choice between the NHL Devils-Kings game, which, you know, really I could care less about, or the IndyCar race. I put on the IndyCar race, you know.
I made the better choice, and I went to Knoebel, so I was good.
that's where that roller coaster was on.
Yeah, and then the carnival was the night before. Yeah, I had a fun-filled weekend.
to answer a question, I missed them with Tracy from that. Does she ever see a day that the cars will be restricted for being too fast? I think they did that when they shortened the distance from the quarter mile to 1,000 feet. I think it has mainly to do with the run out of the tracks themselves than the speeds of the cars. So sorry I didn't get that into her, Tracy. I had the wrong screen up. That's my bad. Tracy, if you want to give us a call, 646-649-1899. When is our friend Chef James Lupo, Foster the Flaming Chef, going to join us? And I saw your picture with him that was posted.
I did. I finally got to meet him. I didn't get a chance to eat, but the food smelled incredible. And he took such good care of everybody that was over there. And it was just so nice to see him at a track. And I got to see Sharon, too, while we were there. So, I mean, it was just so nice to see everybody. And, you know, for some of us, we got to see each other 2 weeks in a row. So that was even better. And you know, it was good. The racing was a little different. I did get a pace car ride again, so now I can compare and contrast the two tracks. And definitely a lot more in the speed up there. It was a lot smoother for a ride and everything around the track. So that was interesting.
Of course it's going to be smoother.
It was, but I was expecting more crashes in turn one where they said they were having problems, and they all were in turn three.
I was surprised they wrecked that early because
I wasn't after the ARCA race. I was not surprised at all. ARCA race, they didn't even make it halfway through a pace lap, and the one guy wrecked into the wall. And they were just pace lap, just pulled off a pit road, started heading down the tunnel turn, and he in the wall.
Well, you know, in the Orca series, you got a good bit of veterans, and there's some of the people that are looking to break in. Of course, there's some stalwarts of the sport, Venturini Motorsports. Frank Kimmel's team has been out there for a while. You know,
Bobby Gerhart's in there.
Bobby Gerhart. I mean, those are the guys that you don't have to worry about. It's the younger ones that come in that cause the problem. So, but
yeah, we were all sitting in the media center, and all we heard was, and on the pace lap, we have a car into the wall, and we're all going, what? And I mean, literally, the media center, everybody sitting there goes, huh? Because we're all sitting there going, they didn't go green yet. Because, you know, there is a time delay a little bit from what they show on the screens. And we all knew there was not enough time that they would have come around yet to get a green flag. And we're all sitting in there going, what in the world are they talking about? We look at the screen, we're like, oh, wow. You know, and it wasn't, they don't go that fast on the pace lap. So for as fast as they were going, he did a lot of damage to that car.
I think somebody just screwed up. They might have been.
Yeah. They said he was like spin his tire a little bit and just weave too much, and it just veered right off into the wall.
That's a sign of inexperience. I mean, Pocono is a large track, and it's fairly wide in spots. Of course, you know, I think the one of the two short straightaways, either Long Pond or the North Straight, are on the narrow side. But you shouldn't wreck on a pace lap at really any track. It's kind of an embarrassment.
It is, and I, you know, don't know. Maybe somebody had put oil or something down there. Maybe there's something there we don't know about either. But, you know, it's bad for the team and everything. I feel really bad for them. But it was the parade lap. You kind of need to be a little cautious. So I don't know if maybe the track surface had some play in that they're used to being able to, you know, scrub their tires a little bit harder than what they could because the bumps weren't there anymore like they used to be back there.
Nah, they smoothed it out. The track did look beautiful. And, you know, it was just a matter of how the cars were going to work. I was surprised that this is the first time they've run 400 miles at Pocono, and they shortened, and they were still kind of pushing it on fuel mileage. Dale Jr., who was in the lead, came in for fuel only two of the last three pit stops, didn't take any left side tires in the last three. He went for two tires in the third. I mean, the last two, he didn't take any tires. I think by the time he came down to worrying about whether he needed fuel or not, I think his tires were used up because he couldn't make up any ground on the restart. And
I think that was a bad, bad call, what they did. They had enough to do one green-white checker. They were worried if it had two green-white checkers or more, they wouldn't have enough gas. And no offense, he went from third or fourth place to 16th because of that judgment call. And it just, like, almost seems like they weren't paying attention. They lost their heads or something in this. I mean, I don't know. And it feels like, you know, we keep making up excuses week after week why he's not winning. And I'm almost wondering maybe if give Chad a chance and we can see what happened. Have Chad call the shots for a week and see if anything would change.
Oh, they're not going to touch that. Jimmy Johnson's starting to hit his stride now.
Right, and I know he is and everything like that, but it just seems like something's not meshing there. Something isn't clicking.
Well, that's what it seems like, but he's finished in the top 10 in 11 races. He's in the points. He's, what, second now or third? Still third? He's second in the points now. He's 10 back at Kenseth. Of course, bad day for Biffle. Points-wise, Kenseth overtook Biffle in the points, but, you know, to kind of miss that win at a place like Pocono, he was leading late. It seemed that his junior's car came on the longer the run went, but
his car was coming on, but Johnson was just really, really on fire towards the end, too. I think if it would have been a longer race, Johnson would have been up there battling for that win, too. Because in the last, like, 20 laps, we were just watching. I start watching his speeds and everything on my Sprint Fan Vision on my phone. His times were just picking up, and they were just unreal. It's like all of a sudden it clicked, and they figured it out.
And on the last restarted, they started right near each other. Johnson advanced to fourth, and Dale stayed, Junior stayed eighth. The restart before that, he gained eight spots for the restarted 16th, but he couldn't gain on that last one. I mean, no left side tires and forced. I mean, the last time was like forced pit stops from the end, and I guess the tire wear was going pretty well, but.
It seemed like it up there. I mean, you had a nice smooth surface, so it really wasn't tearing the tires apart like it's done in the past. And it seemed like you needed more laps than what you normally do to get the tires to the point where they're comfortable again, too.
That's true. I mean, you got to build up the pressures. But it turned out to be a good day for a car that you used to follow when somebody else was driving, and Joey Logano is second. His second Sprint Cup win, his first full race win, actually. He's in a contract year, and the rumors were he ought to start looking around. So he's been having a good run in the Nationwide Series. This time he put it all together, made the right calls. He did start on the pole, so he had a fast car all weekend. It took a little bit of a nudge on Mark Martin, and
he did. But you know, Mark addressed that really well when he talked to us after the race and everything. And one of the questions that was posed to Mark too was like, "Well, you're always the runner-up, and how does that make you feel?" He goes, "It doesn't matter where I finished. It matters is I earned that finish, you know, and I've worked hard to get to where I'm at." So, yeah, the track's wide enough. Joey didn't have to bump him, and I didn't see it, obviously, from my viewpoint. I couldn't see the bump.
It was a nudge. I mean,
yeah,
they were
I mean,
both
it's
going
also racing.
Turn one. They both
you
went
know.
Into turn one low. Joey had a bit of a momentum. If Joey hadn't tried to back out, he probably wouldn't have finished second, let alone first. Mark was getting loose. His tires were a little worn, too, and he probably wasn't praying for that last restart, even though he did get the lead from him. But Joey's car was just too fast, and could he have passed him on the outside at that particular point? It's tough to say. Anybody want to give us a call at 646-649-1899 that was out of track and tuned in or watched it on TV? Give us your thoughts. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Tam, if you're hungry, you're going to make that. If Joey was probably winning every week, or not every week, but regularly, you know, you run up on somebody like that with a head of steam, even if you try to back out and you nudge him a little bit, it's going to get him a little loose. Not like he wrecked him.
Right, yeah. I mean, it wasn't hard enough to wreck him or anything like that. And, you know, like Mark said in the media center, it's racing. Yeah, he could have given me more room, but it's racing. That's what we do. You know, we've all been there. We've all done that. And it's just what happens out there. You don't always – I don't know how to explain it. You have all the room out there, but when that adrenaline starts pumping in you and you're going for it, that room means nothing to you at that point. All you're focusing on is getting around that car. And sometimes, yeah, you cut it a little close. But again, you're just it's adrenalism. It makes you tunnel vision to what you're doing. It makes you focused.
And also, too, being the leader at that particular point in time, Mark Martin's trying to keep his line and, you know, the old saying, make that rear bumper as wide as possible.
Yep, make it wide and block them.
Joey had come down low a little sooner than Mark did, if you saw the replay, and because he was trying to get deeper into the corner. And, you know, he had the head of steam up, and Martin's car wasn't as fast as Joey's was. So, you know, it's not like he punted him into the wall and then took the lead like you might see at a Bristol or a Martinsville or a Richmond, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it was a good day for both of them. Mark Martin is not really he's not really running for points because he's not running the full season. But as far as those running for points, decent day for Tony Stewart. Started 22nd. You know, winding it all the way up to third. He wasn't worried about fuel. He's got a pretty good knack for saving the gas. And then of course Jimmy Johnson trying to keep a string of good finishes going, coming home fourth. Mr. Pocono, Denny Hamlin, you know, started fifth, finished fifth. Clint Bowyer, you got a little clip of. We'll get to that in a second. Sixth, Matt Kenseth, seventh. Junior, you know, finishing eighth. Paul Menard in ninth. Jamie McMurray in tenth. So it's a pretty good day for Michael Waltrip Racing. Two cars in the top ten with Bowyer and Martin. So
they had a good weekend. It seems like they had the track figured out. You know, and I really thought from the preliminary times and everything that Mark was going to get his second pole. You know, I thought he was going to do back to backs the way he was running.
But it didn't work out that way. So anyway, you caught up with Clint Bowyer and in the media center. You got a question off till that.
I finally got some courage. I had to have lots of help, though. Dean was there with me and helping me get through it, and I did it.
Just stand up and blurt out it. Think of what you're going to say, and then if you don't get the first one off, there's a technique to it. That's why it was Chuck Gibler bugging you about getting the first question off again this week.
No. I wasn't even the first one. I was like one of the last ones, but I got it out there. It was something that I didn't hear anybody else ask it, and I wanted to know. And I wanted to know from the guys, you know, now that they've repaved the track and everything, do your previous notes and setups and stuff like that, are they any good, or are you throwing them out, you know, and starting fresh just like the track surface? And I can't figure out how to get the clip to play, but Toyota gave me a copy in writing of what he did for his quote and everything, because he really gave a nice detailed quote afterwards. And his response was, obviously, you can get away with a lot more. The track's smooth. You don't hit the bumps like you did in the years past and have to worry about stopping a car and not hitting the racetrack. So there's definitely things you work on differently than you used to, but same principles apply. As much faster as it is, you really can't pinpoint exactly where it is. You shift in the same places. You downshift in the same places. You upshift in the same places. You enter the corner, your same lifting point in turn one is still the same lifting point, the same lifting point in turn two, and so on. You get to the gas so much harder. You lean on the car so much harder and probably use a little less brake, but feel wise for me, it felt faster before because you were bouncing around. The thing was jumping sideways and you were still running 200 miles per hour. Now it's running 15 miles per hour faster, but it's pretty smooth and under control. He elaborated on that and he was letting everybody know. And like he was saying in the quote that they gave me, the type up from it, it feels faster before because you're getting jostled around so much, but now that it's smoother, you don't realize how much faster you're going because it is. It's just that. It's a smooth ride now.
Uh-huh. So, it's a shame that wasn't on tape. It would have been sounded good to play back.
I have it, but I can't figure out how to play it back.
Oh.
I figure I had the recorder and everything plugged in, but I can't figure out how to feed it through my computer. It's not cooperating. It won't feed.
Should he emailed it to me. I could have wired it into my mixer board. You need a mixer board.
Yeah, I don't have a mixer board yet. Let me go check on the other room. Hold on.
All righty. Let's see if we have the chef. I'm waiting to hear from the chef.
Okay.
Anyway, we okay or we have somebody?
Yep, we're still good.
I know the chef was going to call in. I want to talk to him about that filet mignon he had on the grill. I saw a picture he posted up there, and they were so darn huge. They looked like ribeyes. I even commented and said, they look like ribeyes to me. And he said, they were filet mignons. And I said, man, that was a healthy chunk of steak. You should have ate it. Did you hang out while he was cooking?
I honestly did not have time. I really didn't get a chance to eat anything at the track this weekend at all. I was just on the run.
Well, that's not healthy. You know, we got to keep you healthy so you don't pass out from exhaustion at these places.
Oh, I know. I was drinking lots and lots of water. I was doing good. I made sure I kept putting fluids in me and had a vitamin substitute that we started putting in the water and everything too while I'm out there running around. So kind of like doing a Slim Fast, but with water. Meal substitute, but it's, you know, water drinkable and everything like that because, you know, I got to get back in shape to get ready to go racing in a couple weeks here. We got to get the bike fired back up. I'm going to start a season a little late, but we're going to get back out there this year.
Well, that's good to see. I mean, if you get back out on the course now that you'll be able to have time to do it. And, of course, during the race, failed to qualify was David Stremme, which I'm not surprised. 7 caution flags for 35 laps, which is kind of fairly clean for a Pocono race course. The one big yellow happened early on with involving Willing with Landon Castle, Reed Sorensen, and a few others.
I believe Juan Pablo was in that one, too.
Well, it said he was, but his car didn't look damaged at all.
It has some in it, and I think he was the original one that spun, but I don't think anybody actually touched him when he spun, because I could see it happening from where I was at. I don't think anybody touched him. I think they just all piled up behind him.
Yeah, I think that might have been pretty much what happened. I did hear him mention, I mean, he finished 17th. He started 17th, so I saw him running on the track. He completed the whole race, so he didn't even go a lap down. So apparently his damage was probably, might have been just a fender.
Yeah, he was just like little things in the car. That's why I don't think he really ever touched anybody. I don't think anybody ever touched him. He kept it off the wall. I think everybody else behind him went when he went sideways. They like all went down towards the grass and everything to avoid him, and they all piled in.
Mm. Well, the big thing that everybody was getting nailed for was speeding. Jimmy Johnson got nailed twice in this. They said was a section 10 of pit road.
I heard that, and they were saying that possibly they were having issues and stuff like that. So I heard, I was listening on the scanner and everything, listening to the guys, and like, well, just take it down a little slower than what you normally would. You know, so it sounds like maybe it was possibly an issue, and I know Kyle Petty was tweeting about it too. You know, he's one that'll tell you how it is. You know, one or two people get caught, well, that's, you know, one thing, they probably were. But a handful of people keep getting caught like they were getting caught, maybe there's a problem with the scoring loop.
Yeah, and from what I can gather, they posted, somebody had a chart, one of the speed guys had a chart of where the timing lines were, and apparently that section, they had moved the timing lines, and it just happened to be catching everybody at a certain period of time. You know, they like to cheat on the between the lines so they don't get caught, and maybe they didn't do too good a job because they thought it wasn't. So they had to retrain, I guess, let everybody know that the timing lines were in a different spot. But it was weird how, you know, guys were getting caught left and right, you know, especially with Jimmy Johnson getting caught twice.
Yeah, and I mean, normally if you get caught one time, you're not going to do it again. I mean, that's just pretty normal, you know, pattern. You're going to be more cautious the rest of the day. So that makes me think maybe it was something in the timing loops. You know, I'm going to kind of lean towards Kyle's opinion on this one and say there might have been something else wrong with it, but obviously, you know, it's over and done with. We can't change what happened, you know, yesterday, but it's something they're going to have to make sure they look into before the next race, you know, at Pocono.
Well, that's something, yeah, that the teams will be, you know, NASCAR is not going to say they did something different, but the equipment worked fine, you know how they are.
Right.
I was just one of those things. Anything else fun and exciting around Pocono other than you riding a mechanical bull?
I did. I rode the mechanical bull. The pictures ended up everywhere, so everybody could see me getting flung off the mechanical bull, but I made it on 39 seconds, so, you know. It's longer than the 8-second ride you'd have to do it for.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You were daring it to throw you off then, huh?
Yeah. Hey, after 8 seconds, you're good. So I made it past the 8 seconds, and it was quite interesting. And then Knoebels isn't that far away either. That's a nice little family place to go to. So we went to Knoebels Saturday night to get dinner and had some fun and go on rides and coasters and stuff like that up there. You know, there's a lot to do up in the Pocono area, and people just don't realize how much there is. You know, they're like, oh, okay, I'm here at the track, I'm in the infield, and it's like, you know, you take an hour and 15-minute drive, and you're at Knoebels. You go, there's, you know, some of the drivers went with their families to the one go-kart track. They were out there having fun with them. You got a couple local dirt tracks up there that aren't that far away. You know, you got Big Diamonds up that way. You got Grandview up that way. You know, you have to drive a little bit, but you can really pack in a racing weekend if you go hit some of your local dirt tracks up there, too, after the action ends at Pocono. I know, like, Sealands Grove and all them, they're having Friday night shows and stuff like that. So there's always something going on up there when there's a race weekend going on. And then you have all the lodges and resorts and stuff like that in the area, too.
Yeah, that that is kind of the one of the not so best kept secrets of what's going on. It's more than just camping and drinking up in the Poconos during a race.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things up there to go do and see. And like I said, I know a lot of the drivers take their kids out to. There's a couple go-kart tracks up there that they'll go out and hang out with and everything like that. Or some will go jump into a car at the dirt track. So, you never know who you're going to see up that area, what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because, those guys don't just always stay in their motorhomes in the infield. They get out and about, too. I remember, years ago when Kenny Schrader was running the circuit, he'd find the nearest dirt track and go race there on Saturday night before the Sunday race or Friday night.
Yep. And I know some of the guys did it at the last race at Pocono. Some of them did go jump out to the tracks and go run their dirt cars. They had them and, met the haulers and stuff over there at the track, and off they went to play.
Another thing I want to talk about real quick, if you want to give us a call, 646-649-1899 here at Blog Talk Radio with Garage Talk Live and with Vince and Tammy. And they had the Prelude to a Dream out at El Doro Speedway, a raceway at Tony Stewart's track where they raise money for charity. Kyle Busch winning the event was no surprise. It was rare to, of course, Kyle Busch had a rough time breaking it, something in his car yesterday, maybe a transmission from shifting gears because he went out kind of early. But what surprised me? The seventh place finisher, Cruz Pedregon.
Oh, he went out and played this year. That's a good thing. I love seeing the guys come in and play in the dirt car series and stuff like that, especially when they're open wheel racers or things like that, that they're not used to having that type of setup. But anybody in general, that goes out and they're going to jump from the NASCAR and the dirt late model, they're not the same. It's a different racing surface. I think it was Ryan Newman. Or wait, no, maybe it was Clint. One of them was talking about it. I know Clint was saying, because he runs one, he went up there and did the Prelude for the Dream, and he was having fun laughing at him. He's like, yep, it's your car. You work on it. I'm just going to come drive. So I'm trying to find the quote. It was a really good quote. And like the one was saying, you see the cars going sideways and everything, and here it ended up that they were slowing their lap times down, not, by turning the car sideways and whipping it through the corners like that. It looks cool and everything to the fans, but it actually was slower for them to get around the track.
Hmm. Well, I know the three non-dirt regulars, I know Danica ran up there as well, and but as far as like, it was Tony Kanaan from the IndyCar series, Ron Capps and Cruz Pedregon from the NHRA, both funny car drivers. And it's just funny. It's just weird to see that Pedregon had that good a run in a dirt car. Here's a guy who drives 1,000 foot at 300 miles an hour. One of the competitors that, Courtney Force has to race against, when the NHRA comes to town, and here he is riding on dirt and doing fairly well. I mean, I would have been more shocked if he won the race, but the fact that he finished seventh and he's not used to going around in circles just goes to show you that at least he had a good time doing it and was able to get up there and get a decent finish.
Yeah, and, it is good to see. And here we go. It's Jimmy Johnson, the car that you saw him run at the Prelude. It's Clint Boyer's car that he had up there. And they said, with Clint Boyer working on the car for you, working on that with him. He goes, and Jimmy's reply was, no, he does it all. I sit back and watch and laugh. Anything that Boyer does is highly entertaining. So I can only imagine what it's like in the garage working on these cars and stuff like that, because that's their chance to have a little bit of fun. It's racing. They want to win and everything like that. But they also are doing it for a great cause, and they're having a good time and looking at actually going up there next year. So we might actually get some reports from there next year.
Oh, goody.
I'm looking at going up there. So be something neat to do and right up my alley with my dirt track background and everything like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's good. We'll give one last shout out to call and get ready to make our picks for Michigan as we head out to the Irish Hills in Brooklyn, Michigan for one of the dullest races of the year.
Well, not necessarily.
Up and against the track. What's the matter? It's wide, it's fast, nobody's near each other. Apparently, you'll get one caution for debris somewhere about two-thirds of the way through, if that, because it's such a snooze fest. And I'm sure it's a lovely track, and the competitors probably like going there because there's a lot of room to run. But as far as watching it on TV, I do it because I have to. So nobody in the window?
Nope, not yet.
All righty. Well, we'll just go for Michigan, and we'll wrap it up for tonight.
We got Grandview, too, yet. We can't forget about Grandview.
Well, quick, do the Grandview.
We can't forget about Grandview. First off, I'd like to say my dear friend Steve Totterow, who is also my kid's godfather, he went out to race this weekend, was in somebody else's car, and Sunday morning I was getting emails of a spectacular crash as he barrel-rolled it, but he is okay. So just so everybody has an update on that, he is okay, even though he barrel-rolled the late model pretty good, smashed it up pretty good. At least he did it on the weekend. I wasn't there because it was right where I shoot from, so, you know.
So you'd have had all the pictures.
I probably would have been a basket case, but because I grew up with him and everything. He's actually part of the family. But we have some good news. Grandview had three new winners. They were all different people for a change this week, which was good to see. They said the competition was really, really good up there. So in the late models, we had Chuck Schutz win in for the first time this year. Sean Marker was second. Mikey Kellner was third. And Steve, he's the new one, Netterostek was fourth. And then Lou Egri Sr. came home fifth place in the late models. And we also had the 358 Modifieds, which this was a new name. It's a new team and everything. Jared Miller came home the winner. He had to hold off Doug Mann Miller, who was really, really strong up there. And Mimi DeSantis, the Temple Tornado. And Mike Guler, who we've had on the show before, he came home fourth. And Dwayne Howard came home fifth. And in the Sportsman Series, it was really nice to see this name come up as the winner. It was Kenny Gilmore. And he's been a longtime racer up there. He's dropped down into the Sportsman Series this year. Still super competitive and everything like that. So it was nice to see him get a win. Craig Whitmoyer was second. Kevin Beach was third. Eric Renninger was fourth. And Kyle Borer was fifth in that class. And there's another full week of action up there. So now I will be up at Grandview every Saturday night as long as I'm not at one of the NASCAR races. So you'll be finding me up there every weekend now. And we have a doubleheader this weekend. Saturday night is going to be our 358 Modifieds and our Sportsman and Late Model classes running. And we all get to go back on Sunday afternoon, and it's really exciting. It's Small Car Sunday again. It's the second one in the series. There's 600 Modifieds. They're like the mini modified cars. There's two different levels of them running. There's going to be the 600 Sprints. And again, same thing, two different classes of them running. They have, I call them legend cars. They all keep correcting me. They look like legend cars to me. So they're going to have them up there. And that one is the $5 admission per person. So Sunday is a great day to take the family up there, go have a little bit of fun, go watch the cars. And, you know, they put on a great show. The little cars actually pull a lot of speed up there, so you got to get up there and go see them. It's put on by Racers Roundtable and Pete Knappenberger. That group, you know, has worked really hard to pull this event together for everybody. And if it wasn't for them, these guys wouldn't be running on a track of this size up there. So, you know, you got to give a shout out to Pete for everything he's done and how hard he's worked to give these guys a chance to really show off their talents on such a big track. And last week, I know everybody was seeing some of the pictures I put up. They had the ARDCs come to town, and we did have a guy take out the billboard on the backstretch. He walked out of the woods at first, was okay, went back to his trailer. They did go, you know, get him checked out and everything, so he's okay. So everybody's home safe and sound from that event. And they'll be back in town in just a few weeks again to do it all over again.
Well, that's good to know. Of course, June 30th through July 1st is going to be the All-American Race Weekend at New Jersey Motorsports Park. The ARCA Series hits the road that weekend and in the local area. Of course, you got the Formula Atlantic F2000 F1600 Trans Am Series. And go to newjerseymotorsports.njmp.com and get your tickets to probably one of the newest tracks on the circuit. Of course, it's a few years old. They built it in Millville, New Jersey, near the airport. So if you want to catch stock cars on the road and not have to worry about going up to Watkins Glen or Sonoma right away, you can shoot down to New Jersey Motorsports Park and catch the ARCA series out on the road that weekend. Of course, NASCAR's up in Michigan this coming week. NHRA is down in Bristol for the Thunder Valley Nationals. I got to get to another event. It's a shame it's down here this coming weekend, and I'll probably have to head up north again for another load of stuff. It always looks like when I'm there, here, they're there. When I'm there, they're here. You know? But anyway, let's make our picks for Michigan this coming weekend, and go to Garage Talk Live's Facebook page. If you don't like the page, hit it. Give us a like. Tell your friends. Tune us on in every Monday night at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 9 and whenever. Right?
Yeah, we just go until we run out of stuff. I have it for 2 hours now, so we could go as late as 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, you have it for 2 hours now.
I wanted to make sure we had enough time.
It's like last week we were getting a little close, but that's okay. We had a. Let's call it 646-649-1899. I already have a guest for next week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I tried to get it for this week. She couldn't do this week because she was in a flight, but we will have Johanna Long next Monday night.
All right.
The non-Danica Nationwide driver. So all you Garage Talk Live fans out there, and to give a shout-out to our friends at NBS Racing Blog on Facebook, or helping us spread the word, and all our other friends out there at all the other sites that tune us in on a weekly basis. A shout-out to them. You want to give any quick shout-outs before we make our picks and call it a day?
I do. I have a new sponsor for the dirt bike, so obviously I want to give a shout-out to them. They're the reason why we're getting back on track this year. If it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be doing any racing at all this year. So it's a good thing.
You'd have more free time?
What was that?
You mean you'd have more free time?
No, actually, I probably would still be doing the 90-hour week if it wasn't for them. So I want to give a shout-out to Evolution Power Sports. They're in Douglasville, Pennsylvania, on Ben Franklin Highway. They are helping make it be able that I can get back out the track and get back to racing. You know, we're obviously out of championship contention this year at any of the tracks because we're starting, you know, halfway, three-quarters of the way into our season up here. But, you know, we're just going to take the rest of the year and use it as a learning curve for next year, work on stamina and everything like that, and then next year go after number five.
Ooh, number five.
Number five. I want to be five-time.
I want to be five-time Tammy.
I want to be five-time, yep. You know, four is not enough anymore. This is the women's class, but I think for this year, for pushing my limits and everything like that, I'm actually going to go run in the men's class for the rest of the year to really just push my skills. You know, because the men's class does run faster. They also run bigger bikes. And I'm going to have to work twice as hard to get the finishes, unlike a women's class where, you know, we're all in the same bike size for the most part. Very few of them go with anything smaller. We have the biggest bike we're allowed to get on already. So
what size bike do you ride?
I ride a Yamaha YZF 250. It's a four-stroke. So it's equivalent to the old two-stroke 250s. They won't let a woman compete on anything bigger than that. AMA has restrictions on the ladies because they're the moms, and they would feel guilty if a mom got hurt. So we have restrictions on the biggest bike that we can run in a women's class, but technically there's no restrictions if I go run a men's class. So I want bigger is better.
Bigger is better. Size does matter.
Motor size does matter. Yeah, and like I said, you know, this year the odds of, you know, even placing in the points are pretty much slim to none at this point. We're pretty well locked out of everything, but I'm just going to take the opportunity the rest of this year to just get back on track and get focused. And, you know, obviously I've got to drop some pounds and everything like that. I just got to get back into shape and get back in the swing of things and build up the stamina and everything like that. So it's going to be lots of time in the gym and everything to get myself back on track the right way and get back on top.
Well, that's good to see. You can always take home that weekly prize too. So, all right, well, let's make our Michigan pick for this coming weekend. And I had Jeff Gordon last week. He didn't do so hot. He's not as good as the other. It seemed to be Jr. and Jimmy Johnson ran well. Casey Kane was running well until he hit the wall. Jeff Gordon, not so much. So,
you want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
I'm going with Newman.
You're going with Newman.
I'm going with Newman. Newman.
I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Kyle.
Kyle? Okay.
I'm going to go with Kyle Busch.
You know what? One other thing we didn't touch on yet was this whole Kurt Busch incident and Kurt being suspended. And
Was that last week?
Well, it sort of was and it sort of wasn't. But my question is he going to have a ride after this?
Oh, well, let's. No official announcements have been made. I don't know if James Finch was even worried about that because it was after the last incident. That's why he hired him in the first place. Probably we'll have to see till the end of the year. I know somebody posted a picture on Facebook and he was out camping with the family. Of course, I commented, was he in the Poconos?
Obviously not.
You never know. He could have been up in the woods in the Poconos there. There's a few campgrounds in the area.
That's true. There's lots of campgrounds up there. Just
I know. We used to camp at one right off of, you get off of Turnpike on the I-80, you go down one exit. It used to be called Fern Ridge Campgrounds. I don't know if it's still around, but it was right off the highway. You couldn't even see the place. You couldn't even see the highway from the place. But that's how, I mean, there's like 2 miles from the track, and on race day, it still took you about 4 hours to get to the track just driving down. Route 115.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if it's still around. Last I knew, you know, I haven't been to Pocono since, I think, 1990, maybe 91. So it's been a while. All right, so if everybody, all the listeners want to go to the Garage Talk Live's Facebook page and post your picks. We'll see you all next week with Johanna Long being our guest at the top of the hour, and then we'll see who else we can get after that. All right, Tam? Oh, whatever happened, we want to get together with one of your local track promoters. I guess he does a show as well near you, and maybe if you want the simulcast, we can figure something out.
Yep, we'll figure something out. We're going to get Pete on here so he can let us know all about the Small Car Sunday event he's been working on and the team that they have that runs up at Kutztown and everything like that. So we're going to get a time set up and get together with him and get that on here too.
All righty. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Tune in next Monday night, and we'll talk about whether Michigan was exciting or not. Of course, we'll have NHRA wrap-up from Bristol, which is probably a little bit more exciting. Hopefully, Courtney Force will get her first event win of the year, and she'll come back on more like Rob Hite did in the year he won the championship, and John Force did the year when he won the championship. I like when they come on and then they win.
I like that, too.
All right, Tammy. Good job this weekend at Pocono, and wish I could have been there to meet Chef James. I was looking for him to call in. I saw where he was, said, you know, he was here, but I think, I don't know, that's when the little window comes up on the Blog Talk Live page. I guess I got to register to get the chat window up, huh?
Yeah, you'll have to do that. That way you can have the chat and everything, too, and you can see what we're all talking about each week in there.
All right. Well, sorry, Tracy, if I didn't get to ask Courtney your questions, but I hope I was able to answer the second one without her, but that's my bad because I got 4 screens I'm looking at. And, of course, I had her stats up and profile up for this week as well. But I got you last week, so we'll get to you next week. We'll have Johanna Long on, and we'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
See ya.